the following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 3, text number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on June 16th, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Yajad Acharati Shrestas. Yajad Acharati Shrestas. Tatarevi Tarojana. Sayat Pramanam Kurute. Lokastandanavartate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, the executive head of a state, the father, and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Deshatarine.
So, here in this very nice verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about the Acharya, the ideal teacher. It was my greatest good fortune to personally come in contact with such a great teacher, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And I was even more fortunate that he accepted me as his disciple on August 12, 1971, 45 years ago. So, there is no greater good fortune than to come in contact with a great Acharya and to be accepted as a disciple of that great Acharya. In the material world, everyone is looking to make money, to become famous, to achieve this or that material thing. But all these material things are nothing. They come and they go like the passing of the seasons. But when one is fortunate enough to get the shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, the great Acharya, and take his instructions very seriously, as described in the Nectar of Devotion, then by that shelter under the lotus feet of the great Acharya, one becomes perfect in spiritual life. One gains his original identity. At the present moment, we are entrapped in false identities. I'm thinking I'm a man, you're thinking you're a woman, you're thinking white, black. In this way, we are caught up in bodily consciousness. And because of that, we are suffering like anything. Because body means subject to birth, death, old age, and disease, this material body. This is a suffering condition. The soul, by its very nature, is eternal. Death cannot touch the soul. So as soon as we misidentify ourselves with this material body, then we become subject to death, a very distressful, disturbing situation. So by the mercy of great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, we can become liberated from this false identification with matter. We can realize our eternal natures as spiritual beings, transcendental to this material existence. Therefore, we pray for their blessings. We pray for the mercy of these great acharyas. Please drag me away from Maya. Pull me out of this material consciousness. Bring me back to my original natural consciousness. This is not our natural position, to be identifying with a gross body. This is not our natural position. It's an artificial position. Just like a fish out of the water. This is not our natural identity, a material body. It's a covering, a garment only. Do you identify with your shirt? Do you think you're a green shirt or a blue shirt? No. You know, I'm just wearing this shirt. So this body, we're just wearing it like a garment. It's not you, it's just a garment you're wearing right now, that's all. So we have to come out of this false consciousness of misidentifying ourselves with the material body. Great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, their example, their teachings are so powerful, are so potent, that we take those teachings, that example, very, very seriously. We can quickly and easily come to this realization that I am not this body. I am rather the eternal spiritual being as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivarasvarupahoy Krishnaranichyadas. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. This knowledge is revolutionary. It's meant for bringing about a complete revolution of this entire globe. Because at the present moment, the whole world is entrapped, very deeply entrenched in false bodily consciousness. And because of that, they are totally overwhelmed by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, by envy, by fear. Because of false bodily identification, you understand? So, when one becomes liberated from the false bodily conception, he comes back to his original, pristine, natural, original consciousness, which is full of love, full of life, full of light, full of knowledge, full of bliss, overflowing with nectar. You're actually nectar. We can say nectarian. Your actual identity is overflowing with unlimited nectar. Your identity is nectarian. But now it has become poisonian, you see, by false identification with matter. So why would you want to drink poison when you can taste nectar at every minute? To be in false bodily consciousness means you are drinking poison at every minute. And to come out of this false bodily conception means now you are tasting nectar at every minute. So what would you rather taste at every minute? Would you rather drink poison? Would you rather taste unlimited nectar? The bona fide spiritual master pulls you out of the ocean of poison and places you in the ocean of transcendental nectar. Therefore, we take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Oma jnana timadandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurin meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was completely blinded in the darkness of ignorance, totally enamored by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, false egotism, false pride, completely overwhelmed by these things. But the spiritual master mercifully came to me with the shining torchlight of knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He came to me with this torchlight of knowledge to force my eyes open, you see. My beloved Guru Maharaj has come to me to force my eyes open with this torchlight of knowledge. So I shouldn't keep my eyes tightly closed shut. I should open my eyes to perceive the truth revealed by my spiritual master. You see? That there is a God, there is a person behind all of existence. Dr. Stephen Hawking declares, everything comes out of absolutely nothing. And he calls himself a scientist. But science means you can prove your theories by experiments, doesn't it? If you ask Dr. Stephen Hawking, what is your experiment to prove that something comes out of nothing? He cannot give you any experiment. He simply wants us to take, on blind faith, his proclamation that everything comes out of nothing. Now that is not called science, that is called dogma. We are intelligent people, we don't want to be fooled by dogmatic axioms. We want logical, intelligible concepts which make sense to a thoughtful person, to a thoughtful brain. We can understand that things have origins. This table came from a tree, which came from a seed, which came from another tree, which came from another seed. In this way, you can trace back everything. You understand? You had a father, he had a father, he had a father. Things come from things. Nothing comes out of nothing. Can you show me, any one of you here in this room tonight, can you show me even any one thing that comes out of nothing? Can you demonstrate anything? Can you describe anything? Can you tell about some great scientist who's been able to take something out of nothing? It's never been done. But yet we're told by these rascals, so-called scientists, that we must accept that everything comes out of nothing. That's simply rubbish. There is substance. Prabhupada said, our philosophy is substance. There is an original substance. And that can be analyzed and understood as the Supreme Person, Krishna or God. You see? So since we are coming from that Supreme Person, He is our origin, we share His nature. So, if we are not living in our original natural consciousness, that means we are in a state of disharmony from that original person, Krishna or God. So the spiritual master, he has mastered the art of living in harmony with that Supreme Person. And he teaches the disciple also how to live in harmony with that Supreme Person. That state of consciousness of living in perfect harmony with the Supreme Person is called Krishna consciousness. And that is the perfection of existence. To come back to that state known as Krishna consciousness. It's not a label. It's a state of consciousness. Where you become freed from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And you become fully absorbed in thinking about, talking about, hearing about, praying to, bowing down to, and serving that Supreme Person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all times, places, and circumstances, whether you're a brahmachari living in the temple, whether you're a traveling sannyasi, you're traveling vanaprastha, whether you're grihastha, whatever your position is, you see. As a student, as an employee, as a housewife, whatever you may be, a politician, a soccer player, whatever you may be doing for an occupation, doesn't matter. What matters is, what is your purpose? Why are you living? Are you living for sense gratification? Are you living for Krishna? I can guarantee you this, if you're living for sense gratification, you are a fool and a rascal. Because you'll never be happy, you'll never make your family members happy, you will live a frustrated life, and you will take birth after birth in this material world. You have to live for Krishna, because that's why you exist. You exist to serve Krishna. That's your nature. The hand naturally serves the body. If the hand doesn't serve the body, you see, it's a diseased hand. Needs to be cured by going to the doctor. What's wrong with your hand? It doesn't work. Right, to fix your hand. So, just as the hand, if it doesn't serve the body, is a broken hand which requires to be fixed, if you are not serving Krishna or God 24 hours a day with your every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances, you are broken. You are not a whole person. You are a broken person. You have to be repaired. You have to be fixed. You have to be brought back to your original position of pure devotion to Krishna. That's our original position. This is not something artificial. You are by your very nature. Just as a fish is naturally in the water, by your very nature, you are a devotee of Krishna or God. By your very nature. So all we are saying in this Krishna consciousness movement is, stop living artificially, trying to be what you're not, trying to be that body. Come back to your original identity, that's all. Be a natural person, don't be an unnatural person. Come back to your original, natural, organic state as a devotee of Krishna, a devotee of God. So if you will take guidance from the bona fide spiritual master, if you will take his teachings very seriously, apply them 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances, you'll become a liberated soul. You don't have to go back to Godhead to be a liberated soul. You can be a liberated soul right here in Mauritius while you're going to school, or going to work, taking care of your household activities. You can be a liberated soul right here, right now. You just have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and become fully absorbed in serving Him and pleasing Him 24 hours a day. This is how Bhakti Yoga works. This is the system coming down from the great Acharyas. You have to become simply the sold-out servant of your beloved Guru Maharaj. And then you become perfect. It's not difficult. We work so hard to please our boss, to please our family members, or if we have no one else, to please our dog. We work so hard to please. Take that same tendency to please and apply it to Krishna. Apply it to Krishna's representative, the pure devotee, the spiritual master. You see? Apply that tendency to want to please to Guru and Krishna, and that will make you perfect. You see? That's how you become pleasing to everyone. When you please Krishna, it's like the Goswami, dira dira janapriyo, priyakaro. They're dear to everyone. The Goswami simply tried to please Guru and Krishna. They were completely sold out servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus they became dear to everyone. In this world, we all want to become dear, but just try to become dear to Guru and Krishna, and then you'll become dear to everyone, except for the demons. So I can ask now if there's some questions. Try to answer some questions if you have them. Can grains be eaten before sunrise on Ekadasi day? I was told by our ISKCON astrologer that Ekadasi goes from sunrise to sunrise. So according to that, before the sun comes up, you can do that. But it's not really necessary. I mean, I find it's very refreshing to give that digestive system a break. It's like you go to work at your office so many weeks out of the year. It's nice to have a week off from work, a month off from work, isn't it? And see, so that, do you know how hard your digestive system has to work every day, digesting all that prasadam? It's working so hard, the stomach, the intestines, working. Why don't you give your digestive system a well-deserved break once in a while, at least once a year, a well-deserved break? It's good for your health. It strengthens your digestive system. Give a chance to recharge and rejuvenate. You see, you don't have to keep eating. You see, you can take some day, no eating at all. You know? No eating. That's very healthy, actually. Occasional fasting is very good for the health. According to Vaishnava calendar, we celebrate Ram Navami. We note that Sita Devi also is mentioned in the Vaishnava calendar. Why don't we observe fasting on Sita Jayanti? We do what Prabhupada's established. You can ask Prabhupada the next time you meet him. We're just Prabhupada Anugas here. Whatever Prabhupada set up, that's what we do. I mean, we could have, there are great Vaishnavas who appear every day of the year. We could have a festival every day, at every minute. There's so many great Vaishnavas, and every day is an appearance day of some great Vaishnava. But to simplify the matter, we just follow Prabhupada's instructions. To what extent should a leader force his subordinates to accept the practice of Krishna consciousness? As much as you can get away with it. Actually, in the beginning, force is required. How many of you wanted to go to school? Anybody wanted to go to school? And your parents had to force you to go to school. Anybody here want to go to school? As a little kid, mommy, I want to go to school. Anybody? No, not one hand has gone up. No one of us, not one of us wanted to go to school. Even Prabhupada didn't want to go to school. They had to hire a man to take him to the school to make sure he didn't go off, and we called it play hooky. In America, we call it playing hooky. You skip off from school. They had to take a man to deliver him to the school to make sure he went to the Mati Lal Seal School, was where he went as a young boy, to make sure he went to school and didn't go play in the park during the day, you see. Come home at the end of the day, oh, mommy, I had a great day at school, you see. None of us wanted to go to school, but by going to school, we were taught how to read A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. Remember that? We didn't like to do it, but the teacher forced us, our parents forced us, and now we love to read. We're happy to pick up a book or a magazine, Back to Godhead, you know. It's wonderful. We enjoy reading. You see, so in the same way, it's forces required. Sometimes in the beginning, forces required. So whatever force you can get away with, and without completely losing their loyalty to you, is good. During Nirjal Ekadasi, we have to do Achman. Does this break his fast drink? You know how I've done Achman today? I did it mentally. Om Keshavaya Namah to the air. I did it mentally. I did some Achman today, just mentally. I don't know what the authorities say, but I figured, I can meditate on water. And just meditate on drinking water today. I did it mentally. They offered me the Charanamrit. I didn't take. And I've been doing my Achman mentally today. I'm sure Krishna will accept it. Can you please tell us whether Ekadasi is only when the sun rises? This is what I was told by our astrologer, ISKCON astrologer, from sunrise to sunrise. It makes sense. Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava. As declared in Bhagavatam, Vaishnavyata Sambhu. Krishna says that we have to serve his devotees, so how we can serve Lord Shiva? By spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, Lord Shiva will just be so pleased with you and he will bless you unlimitedly. Lord Shiva wants to see that this Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the whole world. So go on Hari Nam, distribute books. Lord Shiva will be in ecstasy and he'll bless you like anything. Why is it hard to take to the principles of Krishna consciousness? It's not hard to take to the principles of Krishna consciousness. What is hard is not taking to the principles of Krishna consciousness. You got your head screwed on backwards, Prabhu. Try to understand what's hard is not becoming Krishna conscious. By not becoming Krishna conscious, you're simply torturing yourself unnecessarily like a complete fool, rascal, idiot. That's all. The easiest thing in the world is to be Krishna conscious. But we have this crazy idea that it's some difficult thing because we keep forgetting Lord Chaitanya. That's why. So Prabhupada says, if you remember Lord Chaitanya, it becomes very, very easy. Just go, Gauranga, you see. Then it becomes very easy to chant the devotee of Krishna. I find it hard. The only way to make it, you have to remember Lord Chaitanya. That's all. Prabhupada said, if you remember Lord Chaitanya, it becomes very easy. You're just forgetting Lord Chaitanya. That's why you're having difficulty, Prabhu. So now you must remember Lord Chaitanya, and all your problems will go away. Sometimes we see big Sankirtan devotee, when they go on the street to preach nicely, but when they behave amongst the devotees, it's just the contrary. Well, you know what? It's probably your nonsense. They come back all fired up, and they want to encourage you also to be all fired up, but you don't want to be all fired up. You want to be laid back instead of fired up. They come back from Sankirtan, completely fired up, but you want to be laid back. Take it easy, yeah, one of these days I'll become Krishna conscious. And they want you to get to taste the same nectar they're tasting. And they're being merciful upon you to try to get you into that mood where you can experience the nectar also. But because of your material attachments, you're thinking, what's wrong with this puffed up Sankirtan devotee? It's your fault. It's your fault. Okay. There are many gurus. How to recognize who is my guru? Well, when I joined, it was pretty easy. It was just Prabhupada was it. There was no question. Okay, when are you going to get initiated? You didn't have to choose your guru when I joined this camp. It was like it's kind of a shop, you know, a small shop, and it's just. But now it's like a huge shopping mall. There's about 100 different stores in the shopping mall. The ISKCON shopping mall. You got this Guru Maharaj, that Guru Maharaj, this Guru Maharaj. So how do you choose one? It's an interesting question. I've been asked this many, many times. Well, what is the whole point of accepting a spiritual master to become Krishna conscious? Which one of them makes you more inspired to remember Krishna? That's all. It's simple to him. Which Guru Maharaj inspires me the most to surrender to Krishna? That's the one. Not the one who flatters me. No. Who's the one who gets on my case and tells me what a rascal I am to convince me I have to give up my nonsense and completely surrender to Krishna? You see, that's the guru you need to surrender to. Not the one who flatters you. Oh, you are very, very nice. One who says, you are a rascal. Give up your nonsense and surrender. That's the one you should become disciple of, you see. The one who is heavy, who comes down heavy on your anartas, that's the one you need as your guru. The one who is heaviest on your anartas, that's the one you should accept. Mind control technology, psychology, something warfare, is the most important issue facing America and the whole world. Is it? Mind control technology. It's interesting. Never heard of it. Actually, mind control is the most important issue facing each and every one of us. Are you controlling your mind, or is your mind controlling you? This is the most important issue in this human form of life. Are you controlling your mind, or is your mind controlling you? If you let your mind control you, you're an animal. You're not a human being. I'll tell you the facts. If you let your mind control you, you're an animal. You're not a human being. If you bring your mind under your control, welcome to the human form of life. So that is called yogi, the one who controls his mind. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastadam tatastatam niyoda yad atmanyeva vishamniyat. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under one's control. You see? So that's the biggest issue facing not only America, but Mauritius and everywhere in the world. Mind control is the most important issue. Is your mind controlling you, or are you controlling your mind? How can we remember Krishna 24 hours a day, even while sleeping? Sleep will be a reflection of what you do during the daytime. So you have to be conscious of Krishna every waking minute. Do everything you possibly can. Rise early in the morning. Chant really good rounds. Come to the temple for Mangal Arti, or have Singer Vasakam prayers at home. If you have an altar, offer an Arti. You have that Gravastakam every day. Worship the Tulsi plant. Do everything you possibly can. Have a very nice morning program every day, because that will lock your mind into Krishna consciousness for the whole day. And as you fill your day with Krishna, then your night will also reflect it. Your dreams will be reflection. In what state of consciousness do we have to chant the holy name? Rupa Goswami says, carefully. Shat Krishna nama chaditari satapya vidya pato patapta vrsha nacha navrochi kanu kent vadda nunanidang kadu chai vadusha savika madbhavitad ganamula hantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, It is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So the key is carefully, carefully, carefully. Be very careful. Keep your mind fixed. Dear Gurudev, in ISKCON we have many gurus, initiating spiritual masters. Is it an offense to distinguish between these different spiritual masters? No, of course not, because there are two types of guru. There are Diksha and Siksha guru. You have to distinguish. It's not that every guru is your Diksha guru. Prabhupada says you have, there's one Diksha and many Sikshas. So we have to distinguish. Prabhupada says that you have only one spiritual master, and that is the one who initiates you. Others who teach you the same thing your initiating guru teaches you can also be accepted as guru. They are called Siksha guru. If someone tells you different from what your Diksha guru tells you, we don't take them as guru. We say, well, they have a different opinion. They're not my Siksha guru. Siksha guru is only those who tell you what your Diksha guru is telling you. That's how what Prabhupada told us. So you have to distinguish between Diksha and Siksha guru. That's your duty. Do demigods absorb fasting on Akadasis or Akadasis? Well, I think you are all demigods, aren't you? Prabhupada told George Harris. George Harrison said, Prabhupada, sometimes I like to chant. Sometimes because I'm a demon, I don't like to chant. Prabhupada said, you are not a demon, you are a demigod. If George Harrison is a demigod, then certainly you are all demigods. And I see the demigods of observing fasting. Despite our efforts, some days the chanting is not to the right standard. Wow, this devotee is really advanced. Some days his chanting has reached the proper standard. I pray to become as advanced as this devotee. Is he? He says, some days my chanting is not to the right standard. I mean, some days, I'm just praying that even one day my chanting can come to the right standard. You understand? Because when I actually come to the right standard, Krishna, I will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. That's when I think chanting has come to the right standard. Until, as long as I'm not seeing Krishna, I haven't reached it yet. Is it? So this devotee, I'm very envious of him. Some days his chanting is on the right stand. Even though Bhishma, this is hard to read, was very powerful, but he could not tolerate the something of his body. Please comment. Bhima, yeah. Well, these are all great personalities. Don't think, well, Bhima couldn't control his senses, so I'm like Bhima. No. These are great personalities. These are transcendental pastimes of great liberated souls. That's all I can say. Don't think Bhima was an ordinary person because he'd only fast once a year, as they say. No. Do we benefit by worshipping the sun god who is also called Surya Narayan and is the name of the god Narayan? Just worship Krishna. Please, just worship Krishna. Don't let your mind run here, run there. Can I worship this? Can I worship that? Why don't you just worship Krishna? Keep your life simple. As I say, keep it simple, stupid. The kiss rule. Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Can I worship? But can I worship Ganesh? Can I worship this? Why don't you just worship Krishna? Follow Prabhupada's instructions and don't deviate. That's all you have to do, and you become a pure devotee of Krishna. You become a fully self-realized soul. Don't concoct your own new programs. Well, I think I can do this. I think I can do that. Give up this rubbish. Just follow Guru and Krishna purely. That's all. How can we preach with our own children after they are facing non-devotee children in school? Start your own school just for kids, just for Krishna kids, or teach them at home. The best thing is don't throw them in the karmi school. Do we have your own school or do homeschooling? Why do you want to send them to associate with non-devotee children? It's better to avoid them. Better to have homeschooling or to start your own school. A number of parents can combine and start a school. If it's legal here, I know in Australia it's legal, in the U.S. it's legal. You have to teach them to be like Prahlad. He was in a non-devotee school. And he would preach to his schoolmates. If they're forced to go to non-devotee school, then you have to make them like a Prahlad who will go to teach those other children how to become Krishna conscious. If we have to surrender to Guru, what do you mean if we have to surrender to Guru? What is the question of if? Why are these bogus gurus who create confusion such that innocent people have no more faith than bona fide gurus? Because that is the desire of the people. Because they want to be cheated, therefore Krishna sends them the cheaters. What is that shlok? I am the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya cha hum shri dishana vishto mataksmatir ganam apohanam cha. Krishna is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If you want a bogus guru, if you want to be cheated, Krishna will say, okay, here you go. Here's the hugging mama. You can hug her and become spiritually enlightened just by a hug. There are so many bogus. It's like when I remember back in the 60s, we had Guru Maharajji. All you had to do was press your eyes and you would become spiritually enlightened by pressing your eyeballs. Can you imagine if that's cheaters? Or this Maharishi Maj Yogi is in. You pay $30, I had to pay $35, which was my month's rent back in 1968. And I got one mantra, aing, 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 aing. Actually, it's part of our Gayatri, aing Gurave Namah. But I was told you just chant this and you become spiritually perfect. Didn't work, you see. They're using it as a money-making business. Or one guru, he tells all the disciples that they are God. And tatvamasmi means you are all God. And the disciples, they think, oh, Guru Maharaj is so humble. He never says, aham brahmasmi, I am God. He only says, tatvamasmi, you are God. You see? These cheaters and rascals are there because you want to be cheated. Therefore, Krishna is sending you the cheaters. But if you want the real thing, Krishna will send you the real thing. How do you find a guru? You don't have to find a guru. All you have to do is desire to become enlightened with what is the absolute truth, and Krishna will send the guru to you. Just open your eyes, open your ears, pray to Krishna and reveal the absolute truth to you, and lo and behold, the guru will come. You will meet the guru. You see, Krishna will send him to you. Okay. How can we preach to our friends and relatives who show interest? Well, you have to know the philosophy. That's all. I got an idea. Read the books. There you go. Read the books. Prabhupada said, all of my followers must read all of my books or they will fall down. Does that give you a little impetus to read all the books? Read the books every day as much as possible. Hear lectures. When you're driving to work, you can play a lecture in the car. You can hear Prabhupada or your Guru Maharaj or any of our preachers. While you're driving to work, you can hear a lecture. take every opportunity. Keep hearing the lectures, reading the books, discussing the books. If you don't know how to preach, it means you're not studying. You're not reading. You're not hearing. Don't be so lazy. Hear, read, discuss, and then when you have a chance to preach, you'll be a professor of Vedic wisdom who can lighten their, who can open their eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. You must be like that. You must be able to carry the torch of knowledge and force their eyes open. You must have that potency. Otherwise, how you can claim you're a follower of Prabhupada? If you can't preach like Prabhupada, how you say you're a follower of Prabhupada? Prabhupada followers, they're heavy-duty preachers. They can go out and enlighten the whole world, take any true follower of Prabhupada, they can go anywhere in the world and make all the people Krishna conscious. That is what it means to be a devotee of this movement. So don't be lazy. You must read these books. You must become learned. You must become convinced. And go out and convince the whole world. Why only your friends and relatives? You must convince the whole world. That's your duty. Occasionally I have to join them for lunch. It's an opportunity to give them books and talk to them about, but my consciousness is affected by eating the outside food. Well, don't eat the outside food. Many years ago, to support our little ashram in Austin, I got a job. I was a part-time job working for one of these Karmi corporations, MCI Corporation. I was doing telesales, convincing people to sign up for MCI long-distance service. And so I just happened to be one of their top salesmen, somehow or other. I was an award-winning salesman at MCI Corporation. So they would have these big dinners, special award dinners for all the top, the heavy hitters, you see. And I was invited, and I'd have Mataji pack me, Vishnupriya Mataji, pack me my own prasadam lunch in the bag. And they all were seated there with their plates, served by the hotel, and I'd bring out my prasadam and lie down in prasadam while they're eating their meat and their nonsense, you see. So why don't you just bring your own? BYOB, or BYOP, bring your own prasadam. Is sleeping during... Is sleeping during observing Nirjala Ekadasi? Yes. Technically, you're supposed to sleep zero during the whole 24 hours. So if you're sleeping, you're not. If you sleep any time, even for a second, if you're not out for even a second, during that 24 hours between the sunrise to the next sunrise, and technically you didn't purely follow the Nirjala Ekadasi. I'm not able to do it yet. Maybe someday. I'm not there yet. But, it's a very austere thing. Prabhupada told us in Dallas, actually, every Ekadasi is supposed to be Nirjala. Every Ekadasi. But he set up, when he established Ekadasi, he said, okay, Ekadasi means feast. We had Ekadasi feast in ISKCON. Every Ekadasi, Prabhupada never told us we had to do Nirjala. But some devotees inspired to do that, they propagated, and it's actually very nice. So whatever degree you can do it, do it. If you can only just abstain from prasadam and not eat anything, then do that. If you can also not take water, then do that. If you can stay up all night, the 24 hours just hearing and chanting about Krishna, then do that too. But do it to whatever degree you can be comfortably do it. Push yourself a little bit beyond your comfort zone, okay? Whatever degree you can comfortably do, do that. Even if you have to take prasadam, if you can't handle it, and have a little fruit, you know. Do whatever you can do comfortably, and then just a little bit beyond your comfort zone, so you can do it every, you know, and with joyfully, enthusiastically. So some of us still feel a need to take some sleep, and that's okay. Those of us who can't, we bow down at their lotus feet. They're very advanced devotees. Terrorists are killing in the name of God. Are they going back home? They're going to the home of the terrorists. They're going to the darkest region of ignorance. That's the home they're going to. They will become worms, and they will become germs. Very, very sinful reactions they're getting in the name of God to engage in horrible atrocities. In Vedic culture, there were warriors, but they were never harassed civilians. You understand? Just like in the old days in America, if two gentlemen had a disagreement they couldn't resolve, they would settle it with a duel. They would each take one of these old-fashioned pistols. They would stand like this, back to back, and they would each take 20 paces, and they would turn around, and whoever shot the other one dead would win the duel. That was in a duel. It was part of the culture. Settle your dispute with a duel. So in the Vedic culture, if two kings can't resolve neither would accept the other as his superior, they would have to resolve it with a war. Whoever king wins, he becomes the... Now if you agree to serve the other king as a subordinate, then that's okay, there's no war. But if you want to be the ruler and he wants to be the ruler, there's only one way to solve it, and that is a war. But these were fought only by the Kshatriyas. The Vaishyas, the Shudras, and the Brahmins had nothing to do with this. For example, on one side of the road, the farmer is milking the cow. On the other side of the road, two kings' armies are battling it out with each other. The kings are also out there fighting. And the farmer on the other side of the road is peacefully milking his cow without being worried about the soldiers coming over and butchering his cow or raping his wife or anything like that, you see. In the Vedic culture, there were wars sometimes, which were duels between two kings, but it was only fought by the warrior class. The civilians were never touched. This horrible thing, in the name of this or that, to go kill innocent civilians, is absolutely, completely demoniac. It has nothing to do with any kind of religious principle. It is absolutely, totally sinful. And anyone who engages in such activities is going to the darkest hell. You can't say, well, they're following Arjuna or something like that. You can't say, like, it's not. They're not following any religious principles. War is only meant to be fought between warriors, not innocent, not civilians. During Sunday, love feast, we see many devotees present, but during Mangal Arati, only a few are present. Why? Because they are sleeping, that's why. Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, wake up, you sleeping entities. Impersonalism is increasing among the Mauritius population. By the frequent visit of a number of so-called gurus, what should be done to prevent this? Convince all the people here in Mauritius to take shelter of the ISKCON gurus. That's all. We have many ISKCON gurus also visiting, myself and many other illustrious God brothers of mine. Convince these people to become disciples of the ISKCON guru. That's all. Get everybody connected with Prabhupada. Save them from these rascals. In Mauritius, devotees hold Nisringa Yagyas. This recommended by Srila Prabhupada. I've never heard Prabhupada even mention a Nisringa Yagya, which means much less recommend it. Never heard of it, actually, until yesterday. Somebody told me about Nisringa Yagyas going on. We never had Nisringa Yagyas when Prabhupada was here. I don't know why someone's introducing these things. Prabhupada says we have one yagya and one yagya only, Sankirtan yagya. Please don't try to pollute this movement by bringing other yagyas. We have one yagya and one yagya only, that is Sankirtan yagya. It is the Yuga Dharma. Why Lord Nisringadeva has a planet in the Vaikuntha? for his transcendental pleasure? If so, where is the planet situated exactly? Well, when you go back to Godhead, you'll know everything. You'll know where. When you go back to Godhead, you will know where Nrisimha's planet is. Where do we worship Lord Nrisimhadeva? In Krishna Loka or Vaikuntha? We worship him right here in the temple, isn't it? Vahir Nasingha Hridaye Nasingha. That is our Nrisimha Yajna. We do the Nrisimha prayers every day. That's all that's required. If the civilians are not affected during the Vedic wars, why was Arjuna giving reason for not fighting, such as women will become widow and there will be an unwanted progeny? Well, even amongst the Kshatriyas, they have wives, and if all those Kshatriyas are killed, it does put the wives in a difficult situation. Their husbands are dead. Okay, any other questions? Yes. What is it?
Is it that our Nrisimha Yajna is to cleanse inside and outside?
Yes. Bahir Nrisimha Hridaye. This is our Nrisimha Yajna. Bahir Nrisimha Hridaye Nrisimha. Bahir Nrisimha means Nrisimha without. That means to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Bahir Nrisimha means may Nrisimhadeva be manifested everywhere, in every town and every village, in every home and every heart. Nrisimha everywhere, everywhere externally, in the external. That is our Nrisimha Yajna, to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And Hridaye Nrisimha is to make myself Krishna conscious. So the first thing is actually, in fact, Prabhupada translates this. If you look in his purport in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains what is the meaning of Bahir Nrisimha Hridaye Nrisimha. Here's how Prabhupada translates it. He says, May Lord Nrisimhadeva dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so that my mind becomes clean and I can peacefully worship the Lord and bring the whole world to Krishna consciousness. So if you wanted, the real meaning of Nrisimha Yajna is you become a pure devotee and you make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is the Nrisimha Yajna that you should be doing. You become a pure devotee and you make the whole world Krishna conscious. Now that's the perfection of Nrisimha Yajna. Okay, anything else? Is that it? Okay, well, we thank you all very, very much for coming tonight. I'm absolutely delighted after being here in Bhagavatam class for about 5 or 10 devotees and having here in the evening with 200 devotees. It's definitely better. So I'm inviting all of you. I'm giving class here every morning up until the 25th of June. Please, everyone come for Bhagavatam. I'm begging you, please come every morning for Bhagavatam as much as possible. I'll be here every morning giving the Bhagavatam class. So if you felt any inspiration and enlightenment tonight, come and you get more enlightenment and more inspiration. Come every morning for Bhagavatam. And not only when I'm here, but all the time. But especially when I'm here, I'd like to see you all here at Bhagavatam. How many will come tomorrow for Bhagavatam class? Raise your hands. Oh, come on. This is nonsense. How many will come for Bhagavatam tomorrow? Raise your hand. Oh, this is pathetic. This is pathetic. What do you do? You sleep in? Anyway, I'm disappointed. Maybe I won't come to Mauritius anymore. What do you think? If you want me to come back to Mauritius in December, come to Bhagavatam class tomorrow, okay? Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the whole universe, Ki Jai!